All right. Is this live or is this Memorex? It should be live. It says here I got a good feed on this, so we will get started. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 10th of March, 2024. I started doing videos early in the morning. I get up and I drive out before I've had a shower. I'm looking kind of grungy and I speak my piece, and I've started to post those on Twitter. It's unknown to me how long I'll be acceptable on that platform. I put something up today and somebody already said, hey, you've already been, it's already been banned. So I don't know. We'll see. I signed up for a advanced account, a premier account. So it's a paid account. It's not even a free account. And so apparently I'm already getting shadow banned on that, which I don't know. It's disappointing, but such is the world. Kristi Noem, governor, the beautiful governor of the state of South Dakota, just signed in a law, I think yesterday, defining what anti-Semitism is. And her definition of anti-Semitism comes from the Jews, which is not surprising. The Jews have spent a lot of time and money defining anti-Semitism as, well, as broadly as possible, to make themselves as protected as possible. It's interesting. It's often said that you know who rules over you when you're told who you cannot criticize. And when you understand what Jesus Christ said, we're going to go over some of that this morning, what he said about the Jews, starts making sense about why they killed him, why the Jews killed him. Of course, that's that statement itself, that the Jews killed Jesus Christ, is considered classical anti-Semitism, including by my employer, the U.S. Department of State. That's considered classical anti-Semitism. The problem is it's what Jesus Christ said. Problem is, it's what the Holy Scripture teaches. It's not a problem for me, because I'm going to say what the Holy Scripture says. It's a problem for them. The problem for them is this is what Jesus Christ said. Go read the book of John. Go read the book of John, and you will notice that over and over, he turned to the Jews. He looked at the Jews. He says, why are you trying to kill me? 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 He says that to the Jews. He doesn't say it to anybody else. Didn't even say it to Pilate. When he's standing before Pilate, people say, oh, it's the Romans killed Jesus. Jesus Christ looked at the Jews and he says, why are you trying to kill me? And when Jesus Christ was crucified and when he rose from the dead, all the apostles blamed the Jews. Not a single one of them blamed the Romans. This deceit and deception and the lies of the Jews have finagled themselves deeply into the Christian church and amongst the pastors. In a video statement this morning, Kristi Noem said, you know, when I was growing up, my dad, he said, we'd always get together as a family and we'd pray. And we'd always pray for Jerusalem. Always pray for Jerusalem. So she says, I've always been interested in helping and protecting God's people, God's children. That's how she put it. And I can only track this up to scriptural ignorance. And it's amazing to me. I mean, the scriptures are right there for her to read, for you to read, for I to read. And I wonder where the how many pastors came out and objected to this law? How many pastors lobbied their congressional and senatorial representatives in South Dakota and said, look, you can't pass this law. What this law essentially does is it outlaws what Jesus Christ said. It outlaws what the Holy Scriptures say. Did any pastor stand up for that? Or are they too afraid of that group of people that represents those who, according to Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures, killed Jesus Christ? And it's a deep, deep problem. In this movement across America, call it, you know, MAGA, call it whatever you want, I still have to say that we have got a long, long, long ways to go. And this war has just begun. It's just begun. And it's going to get harder and harder and harder and harder until one side breaks. I'm not, they can't break me. They've already demonstrated that they can't break me. It's not over yet, though, is it? It's just, it boggles my mind that, that Christians don't know what the scriptures say. Well, let's go look at the scriptures. Let's read what the scriptures say. Let's see if I can pull up a good one here. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Bible says the Jews murdered the prophets. Bible says the Jews murdered Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that the Jews rejected the law of Moses in John 5, 46 and 47. Jesus Christ called the Jews the devil's children in John 8, 44. Jesus Christ called Jews liars, false Jews, and Satan's synagogue in Revelation 2, 9 and Revelation 3, 9. Jesus Christ swore to remove the care of the vineyard from the Jews and give it to a different ethnic group, Matthew 21, 43. Converts to the Talmud, including Ashkenazic Jews, are twice the sons of hell as the original Pharisees, Matthew 23, 15. You brood of vipers, Jesus Christ said. You brood of vipers. The teachers of Judaism are Satan's own seed, Genesis 3, 15 and Matthew 23, 33. And they shall not escape the damnation of hell. That's what Jesus Christ said, Matthew 23, 33. God's people are not called Jews. Isaiah prophesied that he would give his people a new name. Isaiah 62, verse 2. What's the new name? It's Christian. Isaiah also prophesied that he would leave their name as a curse. What was their name? Jew. Jesus Christ did not come to save the Jews. He came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do not conflate the two. Jesus Christ, the chief theological officer of the Christian church, had the final say. He says, these people that call themselves Jews, they're false Jews, they're liars, and they're of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2, verse 9, and Revelation 3, verse 9. Revelation 2, 9. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3, 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews, but are not, but lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Okay. Direct quotes from Jesus Christ. It's in the red. John 8, 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, said Jesus Christ to the Jews. And of course, what do the Jews do? They murder Jesus Christ. Matthew 23, 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? They're the teachers of Talmudic Judaism. Always have been, and they're called rabbis today. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice the son of hell as yourselves. As yourselves. He says, y'all are already sons of hell. You are sons of hell. And when you convert people to the Talmud, to your religion, you make them twice the sons of hell that you already are. Pretty harsh words. Anti-Semitic? Huh. According to the Jews, they are. As far as I'm concerned, the word itself has no meaning. Christians have to stop giving authority to these invented man-made words that are simply used to pummel men into submission. There's no reason for that. There's no reason to give these words power over you. Well, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitism is a invented word used to pummel people via guilt and shame into ideological and religious submission. There's no reason for it. Same as racist. Same as homophobic. These are terms used to pummel people into ideological and religious submission. Christians and pastors, of all the people, you ought to know this more than anybody. Jesus Christ, Matthew 23, 33. You serpents, you brood of vipers. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? They're today's rabbis. They're the leaders of the Jews. They're the only group of Jews that survived the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Oh, and we'll get to that in a minute. We'll talk about that. Here's the definition of Antichrist. Who's the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. 2 John verse 7, many deceivers have gone into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. The book of John refers to Jew over 80 times. All right? After many days, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." So Jew, 80 times in the book of Acts alone. I think the book of John about 60 times. I think the book of Esther about 50 times. It refers to Jew, refers to being born again exactly 3 times in the whole Bible. About 300 times in the whole Bible, it refers to Jews. Why am I picking on this? Why am I picking on the Jews? The Bible picks on the Jews. That's all. That's the only reason. The Bible picks on the Jews. Jesus picks on the Jews. Fritz, you're an anti-Semite. Hey, if I'm an anti-Semite, then the Bible's anti-Semitic, and I need to embrace what the Bible teaches. Where are the pastors? When you read that definition of anti-Semitism, it basically says, well, everything I'm saying now, and I'm quoting the Holy Scripture, is anti-Semitic. Why do we support that? Where's the outreach in the church? You think for a minute the Muslims would put up with this nonsense? You think the Muslims would, if the Jews came up with a law that said that whatever the Quran says that is against the Jews is anti-Semitic, you think the Muslims wouldn't burn down a city? Muslims go out, burn down a city. They'll burn down London, New York, whatever. You look at them now. You think they're going to put up with this nonsense? Having the Jews lecture them on what they can or cannot say out of the Quran? No, never, never. Why are the churches passive? Why are the pastors silent? Where's a righteous indignation and a righteous jealousy for the Word of God? Where's the passion for the words of Jesus Christ? Where's the love of His Word? Where's the love of the Word of God from the pastors, where they'll stand up and refute these Jews and correct the governor of South Dakota? By the way, there's about, 40 of the states that have passed the same law. Many nations around the world, they take from the Jews their instruction, they take from the Jews the definition of anti-Semitism, and they just sign it into law. And they say, oh, well, Fritz, we have the First Amendment. We can say whatever we want. Yeah, sure you can. All right, look how that works out for Donald Trump. Look how that worked out for the J6ers. Well, that was constitutionally protected speech. Well, yeah, and you're going to spend your millions of dollars fighting off lawsuits, fighting off criminal prosecutions, and you're just going to show up there and say, well, it's constitutionally protected speech. And then you say, okay, well, if that's your defense, have fun at trial. Meanwhile, you spend millions of dollars of your own money or somebody else's money trying to get out of a situation that you never should have been put in the first place. What are you going to say? Oh, I got a First Amendment right to be anti-Semitic. Okay, fine. It'll be adjudicated in court, and you'll spend every dime you've ever made in your life to defend yourself. And then if you win, you'll turn around and you'll get sued. They'll sue you in civil court for being an anti-Semite. Where's the church, man? Am I reading out of the Bible or am I making this stuff up? I'm simply reading out of the Bible. And everything that I'm reading is against the law now in the state of South Dakota. It's against the law. And in many other states, 40 other states and many foreign jurisdictions. It's against the law to literally say what Jesus Christ said. Now, all you Christians are out there, you're all waiting for the Antichrist to show up. And he's going to prevent us from preaching the gospel. And you prevent yourself from preaching the gospel. That's the thing. The preachers prevent themselves from preaching the gospel. The preachers themselves censor themselves. The preachers say, I can't say this. I can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. So they self-censor. The pastors self-censor. The preachers self-censor. The Christians self-censor. The Christians and the pastors are literally ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. I don't know how else to put it. Forget the Antichrist. The Antichrist ain't suppressing you. You're suppressing yourself because you won't literally say what the Holy Scripture says. And then he tried to justify it. Well, he didn't mean that. Oh, he didn't mean that. So he looks at the Jews in context. He says to the Jews, you're of your father, the devil. But Jesus didn't mean it? Man, you put yourself in a tough position. Show up at the judgment day, and you're going to look at the man and say, Jesus, you didn't mean that, did you? Please justify yourself to me. Please justify your every word to me, Jesus Christ. Is that what you're going to say, Pastor? Jesus, you need to give an account of every word you ever spoke. You're an anti-Semite, Jesus. You need to retract and repent. Is that really your approach to the judgment day? When he says to you, how come you're ashamed of me and my words? Oh, Pastor, please, please, please. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to wake you up. You're ashamed of me and my words? I'll be ashamed of you when I show up on that day with my Father's holy angels. Well, Jesus didn't mean that. Okay, you go tell him that to his face on the judgment day. You go instruct Jesus Christ. You go tell him to his face that you didn't mean that and you made a mistake and it was out of context. And look, if this was one scripture, that'd be one thing. I've referred to you guys many times an article written in the Jerusalem Post by a rabbi, and the rabbi refers to other Jewish theologians, Jewish rabbis, and Jewish scholars. Over and over and over again, they say the New Testament is inherently, irredeemably, absolutely, unapologetically, clearly, explicitly anti-Jew, anti-Semitic. And it is. Why are we apologizing for literally the word of God? Why are we apologizing literally for the words of Jesus Christ? He looks at the Jews and he said, ye were of your father, the devil. And we come up with all this oral tradition, just like the Jews did. The Jews came up with their oral tradition that overwrote what Moses taught in the Ten Commandments. Oh, that doesn't really apply anymore. We're going to interpret it this way. The evangelical church has done the same thing. Gone the way of the Jew. Gone the way of the Jew. Well, we know what Jesus said, but he didn't really mean it. We're going to apologize for Jesus, and we're going to reinterpret his words because we know that Jesus is a Jew, and the Jews are God's chosen people. I'm telling you guys, the evangelical church has done the same thing that the Jews did with the law and the prophets. They said, yeah, we know what it says, but we don't like it. We reject it. And we're going to have our oral tradition, which is eventually written down, and it becomes the Talmud. That's our book. That's our law. They don't memorize the law and the prophets. They memorize the Talmud. They don't teach the law and the prophets. They'll teach the Talmud. Oh, yeah, once in a while. I went to some bar mitzvah or something like that a few years back. I'm sure I couldn't get in the door now. I'm pretty sure that's the case. And a lot of scriptures. But you know what the scriptures also teach? It teaches that Jesus is the Christ, who is the Messiah of God, and they utterly reject him. They know about Jesus. They know who he is. But to be a Jew, you must utterly reject that Jesus is the Christ of God. You can be a Jewish Muslim. You can be a Jewish Hindu. You can be a Jewish atheist. You can be a Talmudic Jew. You cannot confess the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as God in the flesh, as the Messiah of God, and be a Jew. You cannot. That religion, that belief system is anti-Christ, literally anti-Christ. Y'all are waiting for some boogeyman to show up in the future. Handsome guy, nice suit, couple little horns coming out. Oh, there he is. There he is. Listen, right now it's already illegal to criticize the Antichrist. It's in your face. All right, Kristi Noem, Governor of South Dakota, talking about how when she was a kid, her dad used to pray for the Jews, used to pray for Jerusalem. Because there's a Psalm 139, verse 10, I think it is. Oh, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May all who love you, blah, 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 blah. All right. So this is part of this oral tradition that the evangelical church has created. Now, when you go to the epistles, how many prayers are there in the epistles for the city of Jerusalem? Can I hear you out there? Exactly how many prayers did Paul say in his epistles for the city of Jerusalem? Or Peter or John? Did they ever pray for the peace of any city? Who did they pray for peace for in, I don't know, doesn't matter, Romans, Thessalonians? Doesn't matter. They never, ever, ever, ever pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Ever. Not one time in not one epistle in the Bible. Not a single one. It's not in there. They pray for peace for the church of God in Jesus Christ. They pray for the peace of Christians. They pray for the peace of the church, thereby fulfilling what Psalms 139 verse 10 says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And they're doing it. They're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Who's that? It's the church. It's not a dusty city in the Middle East that was destroyed. Jesus Christ prophesied, you're going to be destroyed. You don't be crying for me. Don't be crying for me, women. Don't cry for me. You cry for yourselves. You cry for yourselves. Judgment is coming. And it came 70 AD. Jerusalem's utterly destroyed. The temple was utterly destroyed. There is no more a Levitical priesthood. There are no more Sadducees. There is no more line of priestly descent. Gone. Gone for eternity. Gone for. You know who the line of priestly descent is? You want to know who the new temple, the third temple is? People say, oh, they're going to build another temple. They're going to build the third temple in Jerusalem. The third temple is the church of God in Jesus Christ. It's his race. It's his people. That's the temple of God. Don't you know your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Don't you know it's the church that is the third temple? It's not some gold-covered bricks in the Middle East. There's only one third temple. It's the church of God in Jesus Christ. And when the apostles prayed for the peace of Jerusalem, they prayed explicitly for the church, for those of us in Jesus Christ. When they pray for peace, they only pray for the church. They don't pray for a dusty city anymore. Ever notice that there is no epistle to the church in Jerusalem? Wonder why? Huh? I wonder why. Why do Christians invent this thing that somehow Jerusalem's a holy city? Well, the Bible says there's a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Okay, that's fine. That's not that dusty city in the Middle East. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed, never to be rebuilt. The temple of God is his church, his people. Don't you know you're living stones built in together? Bound together as a holy priesthood, as a chosen people. That we're the temple of God as Christians. And the Jews have come along because their father is the devil. Literally, their father is the devil. And they use the power of their daddy, the devil, who's a liar, a murderer, and a deceiver. Satan's greatest power is deception. Satan's greatest power is deception. And they've woven their deceit. They've woven their deceit. And they've seeded it into the church so that the church will go out there and say, oh, the Jews are God's chosen people. No, Christians are God's chosen people. Those of us in Jesus Christ are God's chosen people. Those of us in Jesus Christ are the Jerusalem of God. You want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Pray for peace in the church. Don't pray for some dusty city in the Middle East. Don't pray for an antichrist people. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. To pray to God on behalf of an antichrist people is blasphemy. Well, we can't say that because it's antichrist. And you censor yourself, Pastor. I mean, read the Bible. Go just do a word search on Jew. Just type in Jew. Go to BibleGateway.com and type in Jew. And do not conflate the Jews of today with the ancient line of Jacob. Do not do that. That's a big fat mistake. You can read that in the book of John. The Jews, these people that call themselves Jews, come up to Jesus and say, we've never been enslaved. Well, you just disqualified yourself from being the offspring of Israel. And he looks at him and says, your daddy is the devil, said Jesus. Don't tell me they're the brothers of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me that. Jesus Christ, listen, my daddy's God. Your daddy's the devil. That's what Jesus Christ said. Church is ashamed of this. Church won't say it. Oh, man, preacher, you're going to be in trouble. You go to heaven. You're going to go to the judgment day. And you're going to school Jesus Christ? You're going to school Jesus Christ? Really? Well, Jesus, you see, you were an anti-Semite, Jesus, and we know that the Jews are God. Really? Luke chapter 19, bring these people that didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. That's the man. That's what Jesus Christ said. Bring these people that didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Who didn't want them to rule over them? The Bible's very clear. Pontius Pilate, he goes to the Jews. He goes to the Jews on that day. He said, behold your king. Behold your king. He said, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, baby. We got no king but Caesar. We got no king but Caesar. Bring these people who didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Jesus Christ will do exactly what Samuel did to Agag. He will do exactly what Elijah did to the priests of Baal. There was no mercy for the priests of Baal. There was no mercy for them. Oh, they're just misunderstood people and they just got little personal issues. And Elijah slaughtered all the priests of Baal. I think the brook Kidron slaughtered them all. Samuel took a sword. He chopped up a king into little pieces. The Bible says that he hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord Jesus Christ at Gilgal. Jesus Christ says, bring these people that didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Now, the Jews, their father being the devil, the great deceiver, the murderer, have worked hand in glove with many politicians in the United States and foreign countries to literally make the words of Jesus Christ illegal. Y'all are waiting for some Antichrist, and it's right under your nose. Y'all are waiting for some Antichrist saying, oh, and then, you know, it's going to make the church illegal. It already is, honey. Already is. And Christian pastors and Christian governors work hand in glove with the synagogue of Satan to make the words of Jesus Christ illegal. Why do the Jews have veto power over what Jesus Christ said? Why do the pastors go along with what the Jews have to say, who aren't real Jews at all, who are not the house of Israel? These modern Jews are not the house of Israel. They're not the biological offspring of Jacob. And even they know it. Even they say it in their own literature. Oh, but somebody invented something. They wrote some stuff down. In the day and age of trannies, these people that call themselves Jews are not Jews, but they're liars and they're of the synagogue of Satan. You want to stay safe? You want to stay theologically safe? Just quote what Jesus Christ said. Don't apologize for Jesus Christ. Don't shade his words. Don't contextualize his words. Either his word is eternal or it's not. And if it's not, you're making the same mistake that the Jews of old made. Yeah, we got the law of Moses. Matthew chapter 15. The Jews come up to Jesus Christ. Call them the Pharisees. Matthew refers to them as Pharisees. They're the leaders of the Jews. They're the people that propagate the doctrine of the Jews. They propagated the Talmud when it was only in oral form back then. Later on, it was written down. This stuff is easy. It's not deep science. It's not deep history. Jerusalem Post is a great source. I get a lot of my stuff out of Jerusalem Post. Articles on what a rabbi is and whether or not the New Testament's anti-Semitic. A couple of great, simple articles. Anybody can read them. And there's a lot of other stuff out there, too. Go read The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler, a Jew. He says, I want to know who I am. Who am I? He wrote a book called The 13th Tribe. And he says, we got nothing to do with the patriarch Jacob. We got nothing to do with him. We're a tribe of Khazars. that converted to Judaism in, I don't know, 700 years after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. He lays it out. He's not the only one to do that. Many other people have done that. DNA studies, it's just, but toss all that aside. I mean, toss Arthur Kessler aside, toss all that stuff aside. Just take what Jesus Christ said. That's what I want you to do. He warned you. He warned us. He warned us. It's funny. He warns us who the Antichrist is. And we're still looking for him. And there's a group of people whose mission in life is to denounce Jesus as the Christ and make his words illegal. And to threaten and punish anybody that will say what Jesus Christ said. I know. I know personally. Candace Owens, apparently she has a tiff with the Jews as well. I don't know her, and I don't follow her, but I know who she is. And there's some rabbi, you know, he was digging in there. He said, we're going to get you. We're going to get you, Candace. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, if the Jews don't hate your guts, you're doing it wrong. Please read the Gospels, Pastor. Please read the book of Acts, Pastor. Please read the epistles, Pastor, and figure out who the enemies are. Oh, well, that's just it. Then it doesn't apply today. Oh, okay. All right. So being born again doesn't apply to today either. I mean, you put yourself in a very, very, very difficult position when you say what Jesus Christ literally said out of his mouth doesn't apply anymore. Jesus, it's the Spirit of Christ in the prophets that wrote the books of Moses, that wrote Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, the Psalms, the Proverbs. It's the Spirit of Christ in there that inspired those prophets to write that. Do you think Jesus Christ is going to contradict his own world? And yet when he comes around and he tells you this to your face, he's not contradicting anything he said. He's simply explaining what he said. When he looks at the Jews and he says they're the devil's own children, he's simply explaining what he said before. You're just reading it wrong. You're listening to the deceiver. You're listening to the liar. Just because somebody says they're a Jew doesn't mean they are. Just because somebody says they're a man doesn't mean they are. Just because somebody says they're a woman doesn't mean they are. We know that. And when Jesus Christ comes along and he says, first of all, you ain't even Jews. You're not even Jews. You're liars. You're the synagogue of Satan. Oh, what's the definition of Antichrist? To deny that Jesus is the Christ. Now, why am I saying this? Because more and more and more, basically, your scripture, Christian, your scripture, Pastor, is now illegal. It's now illegal in South Dakota. Well, there's a little caveat in the law. It says, but, you know, it can't violate the First Amendment. And you're going to go to jail and you're going to go through a court process to make that case? And how much is that going to call you? Don't you know that this doesn't matter? We also have the Second Amendment. We also have the Second Amendment. And there's jurisdictions all over the United States that basically violate the Second Amendment. What's his name? The president, Biden, from his pulpit the other night, State of the Union speech. He says, I'm going to ban certain kinds of firearms. Oh, okay. So the Second Amendment applies except for where it doesn't apply. So the First Amendment applies except for where it doesn't apply. How's that any different? Well, we're going to ban AR-15s and high-capacity magazines, which are just, you know, they hold bullets. Well, we're gonna abide by the First Amendment, but we're gonna ban anti-Semitism. It's the same thing. We're gonna ban anti-Semitism. We're gonna ban speech that inspires hatred. But you still have the First Amendment, and you can say whatever you want as long as it's not anti-Semitic. You can have any kind of gun you want as long as it's not an AR-15 or it has more than 10 rounds in the magazine. You can say anything you want as long as the Jews approve of it. We're there, Betty. We're there. Where are the churches? Where are the pastors? Where's the outrage? Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and his words. Be proud of it. Oh, we want to be a new, we're a New Testament covenantal church. We're a New Testament church. Oh, really? Do the Jews hate you? Well, they're God's chosen people. Are you a New Testament church or not? Well, we want to be like in the book of Acts, you know. Really? Have you read the book of Acts lately? Who's the enemy of the church in the book of Acts? Who's the enemy of Jesus Christ in the New Testament? Who's the enemy of Jesus Christ in all of the epistles? And now, I didn't grow up in a household that taught what I'm teaching you now. I grew up in a household that, well, my mother did anyway. She just loved the Jews. Everything they did was right, and they could do no wrong, and they're God's chosen people. I got it. I got that you were taught that way. I understand that you were taught that way. And I understand that you've never heard anybody contradict this. I never did either until I got into the scriptures. I didn't go out and read somebody. I didn't read Martin Luther. I didn't read John Chrysostom. I didn't read any of that stuff. I just went right to the scriptures. And it's like, wow. Wow. Stunning. And the more you read, the more it's obvious. You want to know the great heresy of the church is today? Being ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ and siding with those who murdered him. Being unable to literally say what I just say. Being unable to do it. Self-censoring. Censoring Jesus Christ. Apologizing for Jesus Christ. Denouncing Jesus Christ. Denouncing the words of Jesus Christ. I would never denounce Christ. I would never I'll die before I denounce Jesus Christ. Okay, John 8:44, coming out of your mouth the next time you get in that pulpit, preacher. I would never deny Christ. I want to hear a sermon for you on John 8:44. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. The next time you get out and get in the pulpit, you won't do it. You won't do it. You've denied Jesus Christ. Oh, it's going to be tough on the judgment day. Oh, yeah, Jesus. Well, you know, we like some parts of you, but we don't like other parts of you. So we're going to pick and choose what part of you we like. So you don't mind because you would never want to be anti-Semitic, would you, Jesus? Yeah, that's awkward, man. That's tough. That's tough on the judgment day. And ain't going to go good for you. Jesus Christ was a tough guy. He was not a marshmallow. He was a tough guy. He was not a nice guy. Everybody wants to make Jesus Christ into this nice guy. Yet, you can see the spirit of Jesus Christ in Elijah and in Samuel. It was the spirit of Christ in Elijah and in Samuel that inspired them to hew Agag to pieces before the Lord Jesus Christ at Gilgal. It wasn't a sin Samuel committed. It wasn't a sin. The spirit of Christ was in Samuel when he was speaking to Saul. And the spirit of Christ inspired Samuel to take that Agag, that evil king, and chop him into pieces, little pieces. He had enough guts to do it by his own hand. The Jews didn't. Jews didn't have the guts to do it by their own hands. They got the Romans to do the dirty work for them. Samuel said, I'll do this by my own hand. He got a sword and he hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord Jesus Christ to Gilgal. The Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. It's not another God. It's not a different God. Jesus Christ said, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. The Lord used to speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. Nobody's seen the Father. Who did he speak with? He spoke to Jesus Christ pre-incarnation. Baby stuff, baby stuff. Why don't we teach this? Well, Jesus Christ is a nice God. No. Jesus Christ is not a nice God. He's not a nice God. Oh, he forgave me of my sins. Well, then you be loyal to him. Be proud of what he said. Be proud of every word that came out of your mouth. Don't deny him. Don't renounce him. Don't be ashamed of him. Elijah, the prophet of God, inspired by the spirit of Jesus Christ, brought the priests of Baal down to the brook and he slaughters them. He kills them all. That spirit is the spirit of Jesus Christ. He's not a nice guy, not a nice man. Stop saying he's a nice man. Oh, but he heals me and he saves me from my boo-boos and he gives me free bread and free heaven candy. You've made a different God. You made a God on your own. You're made a God that serves you. You've made a God that serves you, not for you to serve him. Jesus Christ went out of his way to offend people. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. How about that for a winning sermon? How about that for a church growth plan? Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, they turned away and ran from him. Ran by the dozen, ran by the scores, ran by the hundreds. Well. Yeah, you just keep saying that. You just keep saying that. Trying to find an excuse. Jesus Christ, he turns to the disciples and says, you know what? You can go too. Go too. Knock yourselves out. Get out of here. Go on. Get. Bring those people that didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. In my presence. Slaughter them in my presence. And Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Before the Lord. Not just he chopped him up because he was mad. No. Before the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ showed up that day. And the Spirit of Christ in Samuel inspired him to take a sword and chop Agag up into little pieces right in the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, I never heard that before. It's in the Bible. It's available for everybody to read. Well, I just want a nice little church. Sorry, it's not an option. That's what the Jews wanted. And so they created Talmudic Judaism. And their father, the devil, gives them power. Power to lie, power to murder, power to deceive, power to deceive. Jesus Christ, ever read any of these parables of Jesus Christ? Oh, the parables are so nice. They're so wonderful. They're so wonderful. If Jesus Christ showed up today, you'd condemn him as an anti-Semite. If Jesus Christ showed up today and taught what he taught 2,000 years ago, you'd condemn him as an anti-Semite and renounce him publicly. Oh, you already have. You already have, preacher. You already have, church. You already have, Christian. We're against anti-Semitism and hate speech in all its forms. You're so self-righteous. You're just like the Pharisees of old. You're more righteous than Jesus Christ. You're more righteous than Jesus Christ. Well, we're just against hate speech. We denounce hate speech in all its forms. You denounce the words of Jesus Christ in all its forms. Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord Jesus Christ at Gilgal. Well, that's intolerant and that's divisive. That's what I'm saying. You're renouncing Jesus Christ actively. And you do it passively in your parsonage, in your pulpit, as the preacher, as the pastor, when you're literally ashamed. You don't know what to do with it. And so you don't say what he said. Well, I can't say that. You know, I know that Jesus loves everyone. That's a good one. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You forgot those words in there. Shall not perish, 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 perish. What's perish? It means you're going to go to hell for eternity. Well, God loves everyone. There's a whole denomination out there, Unitarian Universalists. No, nobody goes to hell. And Unitarian Universalists, nobody goes to hell. They wanted a nice religion. The Evangelical Church has gone right down that road. Shall not perish, perish, perish. What's that? Eternal damnation. You ever read Jesus Christ and the rich man with the poor man? And the poor man's burning in the flames. The rich man's burning in the flames. Is that a guy who just loves everybody? Oh, he just forgives. Well, God Jesus forgives you of your sins. A lot of people are going to end up in the flames, being tortured for eternity in the flames. I'm not making this up. This is what Jesus Christ said. This is what Jesus Christ taught. It doesn't sound like a nice God to me. It doesn't sound like a nice God to me. Oh, but we want people to love Jesus. We want to make him a nice God. We're doing this for his own benefit because we just want people to accept Jesus. Jesus didn't care. He says, I'm the boss. I'm the dude. I am the man. Bring those that didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. That's your nice God. Why do you want to make a God in your own image? Why do you want to make a God that people like? Jesus Christ was not concerned about it. He was fine with the Jews hating him. He was fine with the Jews murdering him. Now, it wasn't a very nice moment. But he went there. He's willing to go there. I said, that's fine. You hate me? You want to murder me? Bring it. Bring it. Church won't do that. The church will not endure the hatred of the Jews like Jesus Christ did. The church will not endure the hatred of the Jews like Paul had to do, like Peter and John and Stephen. The Jews murdered Stephen. Well. Oh, you want a New Testament church, but you want the Jews to love you. I see. That is so far from the Holy Scriptures. So far from the Holy Scriptures. So far from the new covenant of God in Christ. Jesus said, we have no king but Caesar. Behold your king. We have no king but Caesar. Bring those people who didn't want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence, said Jesus the Christ. Well, Jesus made bread. He fed people. And he warned them. And he told the Jews to your face, you brood of serpents, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell? Hell, hell. And he just got finished saying, this is all Matthew chapter 23. Refer to verse 15 and verse 33. So look at these Pharisees. He says, you go all over, you Jewish Talmudic Jews, and you teach people your religion, and you make them twice the sons of hell that you already are. You make them twice the sons of hell that you already are. Oh, well, they're God's chosen people. Well, Jesus Christ didn't seem to think that. In fact, he literally contradicts you. And we've got a church out there groveling before the Antichrist, denouncing the words of Jesus Christ, ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. That's the condition of the evangelical church in America today and around the world. And by the way, if you want evidence of this, how do we know a church? It's by their fruits. What's the fruit of the American evangelical church? It's the condition of America in 2024. Sodomy is a national moral standard. Trannies in your public library. I blame this on the church. I blame this on a church that's cowardly. By the way, the first people to go to hell, according to Revelation, I think it's 21, first people in line are the cowards, even before the homosexual. Oh, you know, if I preach that way, my church will be empty. Listen, Jesus Christ drove away a lot of people. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Read the book of John. He doesn't care. Some of you pastors, you need to fire your church. Some of your churches need to fire your pastor. Well, we need reformation in America. It's going to start in the churches. If it doesn't come to the churches, there's no hope for this land. If it doesn't happen in the churches, if we don't clean up our own nonsense, and I'm not talking about your, you know, I know you like to smoke your cigarettes, so do I. We all got our deals, and if you don't, God bless you, you're better man than I am. But for goodness sake, can't we at least be proud of what Jesus Christ said out of his mouth? Peter looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, look, I'm a sinful dude. Get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. But he went out and he said the words that Jesus Christ said. He said the words that Jesus Christ said. He didn't wait till he was, you know, you're dead. Oh, I got no sin. I'm dead now. I ain't sinning anymore because I'm dead. Well, that's about it. That's when you're going to, there you go. I know. Somebody handed me a book, you know, decades ago on perfect leading the perfect sinless life. I guess I need to read it again. Maybe you don't. I do. I think you can go through pretty much every person in the Bible and say, you know what? They weren't perfect either. Go read David. Go read King David. Jesus Christ said of David, he said, hey, he's a man after my own heart. Ooh. David was an interesting character. Go read Moses. Moses made his debut on the world stage by being a race murderer. Murdered the Egyptians in defense of his own race of Hebrews. I suspect we could dig up a thing or two on Jeremiah and, well, certainly Peter, we know that. All the disciples abandoned Jesus Christ at the end. Ain't nobody perfect. Go read about David's mighty men. Can't we at least say what Jesus Christ said? Can't we at least say what literally Jesus Christ said out of his own mouth? Well, you know, yeah, you just keep saying that. You show up, you die, you show up at the judgment day. I said, listen, I said a lot of things you refused to say. Why were you ashamed of me? What's going on here? Well, you didn't really mean that. Oh, you're going to school Jesus Christ on the judgment day. You're going to tell him he didn't really mean it. Awkward. So in the United States today, the Antichrist is making laws so it is illegal to say what Jesus Christ said, and the church is silent. Church is silent. The church is silent. You got Christian governors. Apparently don't know the Holy Scriptures. Where's a pastor to tutor her? Where's a pastor to come up and say, hey, Christy, here's the deal. Here's literally what Jesus Christ said. You sign this, you're making what Jesus Christ said illegal. And she's not the only guy. She's like, I don't know, 40, 50, not 50 states, but there's at least 30 states that have passed the same law. You take laws from the Jews and you make them state laws, and they make the words of Jesus Christ illegal. There's an organization called the United States Department of State. They have said on their website that accusing the Jews of the death of Jesus Christ is classical anti-Semitism. Okay, so the State Department, U.S. government agency, is going to tutor Jesus Christ and scold Jesus Christ for being anti-Semitic. Really? That's arrogant. That's arrogant. That's arrogant. Don't be on that side of things. Speak up, speak out. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com. And we're going to close out here. We have been live, so greetings to those of you out there that join me. Appreciate that. See if I can read some of these notes here. The Maven and Sandy. Well, right on. Listen, I'm going to put up a recording of this up at bloodandfaith.com. I also post things at Rumble. I'm on Twitter at bloodandfaith for as long as they'll have me, even though they've apparently been shadow banning me already. And I'm on Gab. But you go to bloodandfaith.com, you can see all those links out there. Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. Be proud. Be proud of what Jesus Christ said. Never, never. Don't degrade yourself by apologizing for him. Embrace what he said. Be proud of it. If the Jews don't hate your guts, preacher, you're doing it wrong. You want to be the New Testament preacher? Go look. Go look. Say, oh, God, I want to be like Stephen. I want to be like Jesus. Okay. Maybe you need to have the Jews come after you. You want to be like Jesus. Maybe the Jews need to come after you. Or are you placating them? Are you groveling before them? Are you saying words to encourage them? Are you exalting them over Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ said? Not a conversation you want on the judgment day. I'm going to sign off. Getting a little wordy here. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com.